Hits Nation, get ready, because it's time for some Drake mayhem with Fitzy and Chime on WEEI.
Pop up on the injury report Wednesday with a knee issue. Can you tell us when that injury happened and how you've been dealing with it?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. You know, these last 2 days, felt good out there at practice. Feeling good now, and you know, ready to go for Sunday.
Did that happen during the Texans game, or was that at practice?
Yeah, I think, you know, injuries are something that you don't really you try to share with the media. So, just looking forward to Sunday.
The name's May. Drake May. And may I welcome you to a very exciting edition of WEEI's Saturday special, Fitzy and Chime. Coming to you today from 12 to 3 p.m., previewing Patriots at Jaguars, Her Majesty's Royal Brunch Ball tomorrow on the NFL Network, giving you guys everything you need for a lovely cup of sports on what has been just another postcard L.L. Bean of a Saturday afternoon here in New England. My God, Chime, bottle this weather up and send it to me in February, because it just doesn't get much better than this, baby.
No, it doesn't, Fitzy. They call me 007 slices of pizza, and I am excited to be with you on a wonderful Saturday afternoon.
They call me 007 IPAs, because that's about how many I plan on putting away later on today. Hey, easy, Braverman. All right, we'll get to you. All right. Joe doesn't like the fact that I wrap up all the shows now whenever he's producing with, if you like the show, congratulate Joe, and if you didn't, blame Braverman.
No, that was a complimentary rim shot for the both of you.
Yes, thank you.
You know,
I disagree with you, though, Chime, because you are looking great with that Awaken 180 plan.
Appreciate you, Joe. Thank you. Yeah, I am in wonderful shape. I hit the gym this morning, felt good about it, took the dog out on a walk. I'm living life and living large and in charge these days. It's great.
More often than not, whenever you see Chime's leftovers, there is not a lot of juice left in that fruit. You are squeezing it all out and enjoying every last drop, my guy.
You know it, baby.
And we love to see it. Side note, real quick, we just need to unpack this super quick before we get to all the procedurals and the table setting for today's radio program. The rim shot, it was whenever it was created, I think it probably became even more famous during like the Borscht Belt, the vaudeville days, and then into the Borscht Belt and whatnot. It was truly meant to punctuate jokes and add to them, you know, letting people know like, and that's the joke, and here's your punchline, and how about, you know, it's the magician's version of ta-da, it's the comedian's version of ta-da, like magicians and illusionists used to use. But for some reason, over time, it has developed such a negative connotation that even though I felt comfortable with my half-assed dad joke to start the show, you hear that and it's almost like, oh, now I'm being trolled. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you. But no, I think the rim shot's a good thing, especially if you have like a good, really corny joke. I think it's apropos. It's nice.
See, you call it corny, right? See, the dad, there's nothing wrong with the dad bod. It can be improved upon so long as, you know, your diet's decent and your cholesterol and blood pressure are low. And you get enough sleep, which scientists and doctors will tell you alike is probably paramount to almost anything that you could possibly do. And then like dad jokes. What's wrong with dad? People say, oh, that's a great dad joke. Well, why'd you have to qualify?
I think
like
one
that?
Of my favorite things in the world was back when I used to be many, many moons ago when I used to be on the midday program. Anytime I would have a dad joke of any kind, Rich Keefe refuses to laugh. He finds it the lowest form of comedy. And it makes it that much funnier for me when he hates them.
I want to, like, the same way people that go to spas and get covered in mud and then jump into, like, mineral springs. I just slather me in Rich's disdain for dad jokes. Oh my God.
It makes me so happy.
It is barbecue sauce on a well-prepared rib whose meat is about to fall off the bone.
Mm-hmm.
The look where it's like every neuron, his blood flow stops. Everything just comes to a screeching halt in his body. He holds them in such disdain. And yet at the same time, Chime, there are professors. There are many illiterate folk in this world who will tell you that puns, wordplay, and dad jokes are an elevated form of thinking.
Of course they are. You have to be quick on your feet in order to come up with a good dad joke, especially an original one. That's the hardest part, is coming up with an original dad joke, because at this point, people have loved them so much and so often, and they're so popular on the TikToks and the social medias that that it feels like everyone has been done at some point or another. So to come up with an original one, come up with a good one, that is the true key to comedy right there.
It's always very difficult to do. But when it happens, I always take the time to acknowledge it and appreciate it. Just like I do a good take, some high-quality analysis, and, of course, everything that will go into today's program. If you guys would like to join the Fitzy and Chime Show, talk some Boston sports, we're going to kick it off with a power hour of New England Patriots getting ready with high anticipation for tomorrow's 9:30 affair at Wembley Stadium, a place Chime and I are both kicking ourselves right in the old Yorkshire pudding for not being at tomorrow. Oh, my. I swear. The Green Man Pub opens up at London time tomorrow, 9 a.m. So that'll be 4 a.m. our time. I wouldn't be surprised if I just like shoot up. I don't even have to set my alarm for tomorrow morning. I'll wake up at 4 naturally because that's where all of the UK Patriots fan club who are hosting the big rally party tonight in London. The tickets sold out for that ages ago. All the expats, all the fan clubs from around proper England, if you will, as well as Europe, will be joining, as well as people from all over New England and the United States as well. Place holds 90,000. It is massive. It's England's national football stadium, of course, football being soccer. And so it's just a scene. It'll be sold out. It'll be raucous. And I guarantee you, win or lose, you'll hear from Pop Douglas. Mayo's been over there before, obviously, but you'll hear from Pop Douglas, Drake May, Kendrick Bourne, and they're all going to talk about what a surreal environment it was, how much they wish their home games or all stateside games were like that as well. The UK Patriots fan club and all the ones from Spain, from Portugal, from all over Europe that are going to be descending upon London, either made it yesterday or get there today, Shime, are going to turn that place into a scene. And tomorrow, please, if anyone is foolish enough to follow me on the socials at FitzyGFY, tag me in every proper pint photo.
Oh,
send
please.
Me all of your send me all of the breakfast pints and, you know, all of your bangers and mash tomorrow. I just want to see and consume all of it, because while I'm looking forward to today's show and I'm looking forward to hosting the season ticket holder viewing party tomorrow at Gillette before the Six Rings post game show, Shime, there's sort of, you know, like having people share the ambiance with you. And then there's actually sort of like being in it. And it's just, you know, as you and I, as card carrying members of the London fan club, there ain't nothing like it.
No, there really isn't. And the stadiums over there are so nice. They are awesome. I went and
Do you mean the pitches?
Yes, I'm sorry. I mean the pitch, good sir. I went over and because with the time I was in London, there was no matches being held. Unfortunately, they were in their off season. But I got to take a tour of Arsenal Stadium, and it was awesome, dude. The place, it's like, it's so well constructed. It's beautiful. It's so like, there's
where's
so
the
many
Arsenal
seats.
One? Because the alternate, the all, just so people know, because of Shad Khan's relationship to the Tottenham Hotspur, is he a part owner? I want to say he is. I think his son or his brother runs AEW, and he's the primary owner of the Jaguars, and I believe he's a partial owner, if not primary owner, of Tottenham Hotspur. So that's the alternate venue. So when the Jets lost, gloriously so, 2 weeks ago to the Vikings, that was actually at Tottenham Hotspur, which I think holds like 50,000?
Yeah, Tottenham Hotspur is awesome. So Arsenal Stadium is Emirates Stadium, and that's
gorgeous.
It's so good. It's so awesome. It's owned by the Cronkies, so the same people who own the Avalanche, the Rams. It's owned by those people. It is.
Why does, when you say Cronkies, why does that make it sound like the neighbors down the street that are always like, and would you tell your kids not to ride their bikes over our lawns?
I also think
I was going to say Kronk's brother from the Emperor's New Groove.
That's what I was going to say. And it's a younger generation. Kronk, pull the lever.
Or you could say Kronks, and you'd be like, you mean the one that was like, yeah, I tried to do the dance like the big the TikTok guy.
Oh God,
Joe,
be honest.
That's what Gronk said after he scored a touchdown in 2012, the game I was at in Wembley, and Gronk called the Palace guards at Buckingham Palace, he called them like the TikTok guys. I'm not kidding.
Wait, that's real?
That's not a joke.
I thought this was like a recent thing, like you were talking about the TikTok app, and so I was very confused.
No, I'm pretty like, sure. Gronk, we've got to effort this throughout sometime between now and the end of the program. We have to find that bite. I was there for that game. Pats won 45-7. I think I had 1,100 Carlsbergs, 2,300 1664s. All people drink over there is Carlsberg, Heineken, 1664, and Stella. Those, like, it's just all Euro lagers everywhere, and they're dirt cheap. And then in the pubs, you drink all the nitro pours of, like, the proppers and the ales and the bitters and whatnot. It was a massive dub. I think the Rams went up. Sam Bradford was a quarterback of the St. Louis Rams. They went up 7-0, and then Brady and Gronk just found their groove. Brandon Lloyd was there, and Ridley, and they just went off 45-7. Oh, what a day that was!
That was, man. I gotta tell you, I love football, and in England, it's all the better.
So what is your whole take? Oh, sorry, I got to give out the phone number 9 minutes into the show. Shime and I are with you till 3. You know how to get in touch with us. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. The text line is open for business, 37937. Please, when you call into the show or text, try to be a grown-up, play responsibly, and we'll share your thoughts, takes, and more throughout the show. The socials, at Shime Time, at WEEI, and at Fitzy GFY. Like I said, all Patriots first hour. In the second hour, we're actually going to talk a little Celtics because, oh, dang, the NBA season snuck up right proper on us. The Celtics tip off this week. It's unbelievable. It doesn't even feel like basketball season. But then again, considering that it was only 3 months ago that they hung banner 18, or rather won it, and now they'll hang it this week. That's what happens when your team plays almost an extended third of a season on their way to a championship. We'll be joined at 1:25 by our guy, one of our Celtics beat guys, Justin Turpin, who also handles 1,800 other responsibilities here at WEEI.
He's a grinder. He's
amazing. I mean, I tell people all the time when they ask me, like, Fitzy, I've been thinking about starting a blog, or I want to do a podcast. I would love to do media. You know, like, you made your way through the ranks in a non-traditional capacity, to say the least. You know, what do you think? How should I do it? Can I get some advice? And I'll always tell them, hard work is the answer. Just like Brady said in his speech, and just like Justin Turpin exemplifies on a regular basis at our station. The kid coaches football. The kid has a great life on his own. Every single person that knows him outside of work, and I have family that knows him from Braintree, they love the kid to death. And then he produces radio shows. He runs our Twitch. He's our Celtics beat guy, produces podcasts, and he's available for hits, and he sounds great on the radio. Hard work is the answer, kids. Keep grinding. Follow Terp. That's the way to get to where you want to be in this life.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't have said it better myself. I'm excited for him to join us today at about 1:20. It's going to be awesome.
That's right. We'll talk a little Celtics, and then the debut of a segment, I think...
It's going to be good.
I it's going to be the new biggest thing. Not since I've... You know, I've left my mark on a lot of different programs here at WEEI. From the year I spent on the morning show, the gift that I left Greg and them with was Douche Move, which I know is one of your favorite segments.
Ooh, love that. Yep.
Yep. In the midday show, Rich and I, you know,
What happened?
Grab bag, boom roasted, all those things. I think we may top it all today with the debut of our segment at 2 p.m. today. Got me feeling nicey.
Yes.
Coach John Gruden has returned to the fore, folks. And however you may feel about the original Gruden grinder himself, he is quickly becoming a TikTok star.
If you're not on TikTok, the one reason you should join TikTok is for John Gruden.
Well, the thing is, so many people are now enamored. See, I would tell people, like, if you're not on Twitter, good, don't start now. However, if you feel the need to join, do it, and the first follower should be Jose Canseco, only because of how much he hates A-Rod. Have you ever read, like, it's a beautiful morning for everyone? Like, he'll just tweet out, the sun is out today.
I hope you have a great day, except you, A-Rod.
Except for one person.
That's so awesome.
Like, if you're going to commit to the bit, it has to be a lifelong commitment. And that's what makes Canseco such a great follow.
That's like me and Orlando Bloom. It's like I wake up today and I'm like, I hope everyone listening has a wonderful day, except you, Orlando Bloom.
Wait, hold on a second.
Are you doubting me again?
What is your grudge with Orlando Bloom?
You know in life, Fitzy, when you just have irrational disdain for things and people, Orlando Bloom is one of those things for me. I cannot justify this
before. You don't have a legitimate reason.
Nope. I have no legitimate reason. He has not crossed me in any way. I just see him and I immediately have a scowl on my face and I dislike him. And
that's so okay.
I am anti Pirates of the Caribbean. I think the only good thing he's done in his life is Legolas.
Stop acting.
Is Legolas. Outside of that, I don't acknowledge him in any other capacity. And I hope everyone has a great day except for Orlando Bloom.
But see, you liked him as Legolas because he didn't look like Orlando Bloom.
Exactly.
Okay, but when he looks like Orlando Bloom, always with that little like half mustache.
Yeah, like have you ever seen somebody, and I think this is just like a normal reaction, maybe it's not, and you can tell me if it's not. You see somebody and they just have like a punch me face, right? Where it's just you want to do is just like punch them. Like I think of the guys that come to mind for me, Matthew Tkachuk, Orlando Bloom, Aaron Asham, for those of you who are looking for obscure hockey players.
Asham.
Yeah, just look up Aaron Asham. I think he played for the Ducks for a long period of time. He might have even played for the Rangers as well. You see him, and it's just like, I just want to hit him in the face. And it's like one of those things. He played for the Penguins quite a bit and the Flyers. That was the other one.
Oh, man, I've gotten a few of those before in my mentions as well.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, you just have irrational hatreds. People, I'm sure somebody out there, especially there's generally an 603 or 803 texter who hates me, so I guarantee I'm one of his irrational hatreds, which I get. And I can't fault anybody for it because I have a few of my own. You know,
it's a you-do-you, bro, type of thing. Like, I know every time Hart and I used to do the Fitzy and Hart show, that every show would begin with a 413 texter, telling Hart to find a bridge that had recently collapsed and jump off of it.
Yep.
And I had a 978er that was like, oh, good. Would you please shut up? I can't do 3 more hours of this. It's like, well, your radio has knobs, buttons, switches, whatever you can, or your app, your phone, you can tell it to go somewhere. It's fine.
They don't know how to
work
those.
To each his own. That's so interesting about Orlando Bloom for you. Wow. I don't even know how we got down that particular wormhole.
Well, and this is the issue, right? 413. So you don't like Bloom because he's handsome. No. I am very comfortable in announcing the fact that men are handsome. Like, you look at a guy like Zac Efron, has really transformed himself. Mm-hmm. Handsome son of a bitch. I don't hate him. He's a great guy. I love Zac Efron. Big fan. Brad Pitt, just eternally handsome gentleman. Love Brad Pitt. It has nothing to do with his attractiveness or lack thereof. It is simply like, I just look at his face, and maybe in a past life we had a beef. Maybe you know, back in the days of the Renaissance, him and I were had a bit of a tete-a-tete or whatever it is, whatever they say. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a fan. So like, I see his face, and it's just I dislike him. It is what it is. You know what happens?
Christian Bale, my Batman. A very handsome man. I'm also affected by what a quality actor he is as well. You could jar Matthew McConaughey's sweat and throw it on me, and I wouldn't take and I wouldn't wash for a day. Are you kidding? What a handsome...
Celebrities do you actually hate? 617-779.
No, by all means. Joe, by all means, please. If you have a celebrity that you would want, if you would want to bathe in their sweat, let us know. If there's a celebrity or a person you have an irrational hatred for, and you like the idea of being anywhere near their musk drives you nuts, go ahead and let us know. Also, just wanted to let you know, producer Joe Braverman will, in honor of tomorrow's game in London at Wembley Stadium between the Pats and the Jaguars... we are going to be playing all British music rejoins, so all London rock coming in and out all day long. If you have a preference for a song, if you have a request you would like Joe to dig up, 37937. When we come back, we will finally get footballs deep into tomorrow's game. We'll talk about the phantom injury for Her Majesty's Royal Quarterback of Foxborough tomorrow as well. And Shime and I are going to outline why we think the Patriots can win, and why we think the Patriots should and need to win as well. We are both very high on the Patriots tomorrow, and once we get into the wagering action, Shime's going to help you guys make some money and pay for your holidays and have a very Merry Christmas on the Jaguars' dime. But first, let's catch you up on everything else trending in the wide world of sports with Mr. Joseph Braverman.
You mentioned being sleep-deprived. Do you have to handle practice any differently knowing that
I wasn't sleep-deprived. That's Stacy being sleep-deprived.
Well, are you sleep-deprived?
I'm not at all. I have energy. I have juice, and I would say the players do too. You know, we flew out here. We landed this morning. A lot of those guys, you know, slept on the plane, and they have an opportunity to get, you know, their energy up through the rest of the day and be ready for tomorrow.
Well, there he is. Gerard Mayo saying that despite the travels and all the whatever that goes into having to pack up and fly across the Atlantic Ocean, the team is feeling energized. I like to hear that. No reason, there will be no excuse other than just flat out getting beat or just not being that terribly well-rounded football team for the Patriots not to put their best foot forward. And I say win the game tomorrow. I am confident. I'll even go so far as to say this. I believe tomorrow you're going to see a very entertaining football game. I believe tomorrow you see the Patriots win their second football game of the year. You get Drake May gets his first win in a shootout. It'll far be from an instant classic because it's 2-1-5 football teams playing at 9:30 in the morning from Wembley Stadium. I think it's going to be very entertaining. I think the Patriots are going to win the football game. And dare I say this, this is the Patriots game I am most looking forward to the rest of the season, Sean, because I believe, given the matchup and what the Jaguars present in the current state of affairs for the Jags, a team that is lost, that has had to spend an extra week over there, that got their asses handed to them last week by the Chicago Bears. Their coach is in turmoil. The organization in total flux. Trevor Lawrence is regressing. You have the worst pass defense statistically in the NFL. If ever there were a time for Pop Douglas, Kendrick Bourne, Jalen Polk, Hunter Henry, and hopefully Ramondre Stevenson, if he's healthy and ready, to get out in the flat, run some outs, take it to the post, fly and go deep, and make excitement happen, tomorrow is the day, because there are going to be some really tough matchups the rest of the way. Home against the Jets, two with Buffalo, down in Miami. It's not going to be as pretty the rest of the way. This, and obviously November 10th, I believe it is, out in Chicago against the Bears, a team that's pretty chippy right now and looking like they may be competing for a playoff spot in the very competitive and highly entertaining NFC North. I'm fired up for tomorrow, Shime. I think the Pats can win.
Yeah, I definitely think they can win. I don't know if they will, but I think it'll be a good game. I think this will be one of the better games you're going to see from your New England Patriots team all season long. Drake May finally has a start under his belt, so he'll be a little bit more comfortable and confident headed into this game. And I also think that Jacksonville's defense allows for you to be really explosive on offense. This is going to be, in my opinion, probably the best the Patriots offense will look all season. The only other game to me that they might look even better in is that Rams game coming up. In like four-ish weeks or so, outside of maybe even like the Cardinals game, but that one's out in Arizona. So like, I feel like this is one of the best opportunities for the offense to look explosive, look enticing to the fan, and really kind of get people riled up and excited for what the future may hold. So I'm really excited for tomorrow. I think they can cover the number. Six to me is too many. This should be 3.5. So I really think that they can cover that number, but I'm not 100% confident they can win. I think it can be a shootout. Like, I think if I told you tomorrow that this game ended up being 34-31 Jags, would you be shocked?
A, I would not be shocked, and B, you know what? I wouldn't be disappointed, because I know what the state of affairs is currently 100%. On the Patriots defense, and if they get out there against a lower tier, second rate defense and light it up, and I get a Drake May scoot, two touchdown passes, and their best effort, and you know, the Jags just happen to be the latest team to walk off on a 57-yard field goal? Hell no. Absolutely not. And by the way, it's going to feel, believe it or not, even with 90,000 people and the Jags being a de facto London team, like what is England's team? I guess you could say it's the Jags because they play two, sometimes three games over there. With the work they're going to be doing soon on Everbank Stadium down in the dollar store that smells like corn nuts that is Jacksonville, pretty soon you may see them playing even more matches over there as well. And to which I say to the English, this is what you get for the War of 1812. This is what you get for stealing all of our Oscars. You have the BAFTAs. Go get your stick to your own damn movie awards, people. But yeah, this is a team you can and should take advantage of. And if they get the best of you, okay, fine, because they should be a little better than you. They have too much talent to be 1-5. The Patriots, they're kind of 1-5-ish, but they're on the uptick thanks to the Drake.
Yeah, I think this Jaguars defense is putrid. Like, it's really bad. It's not good at all. Offensively, they have a little bit more talent than you, but I'm pretty sure Travis Etienne is questionable to play in this game. He may not
Tank Bigsby's a nice backup.
Yeah, I like Tank Bigsby, but he has put the ball on the turf quite a few times already in his young career, so he is not the most sure thing in the world. I really like Brian Thomas, the receiver for Jacksonville, but like Christian Kirk is fine. He's nothing. He's not better than Pop Douglas. They're probably very similar players, in my opinion. Gabe Davis had like two 200-yard games only against the Jaguars, so they went out and signed him, and outside of that, now he can't do that anymore because he's not playing against the Jaguars. And then Evan Ingram's probably the best offensive player on the field, right?
He's good.
He's really good. So that's going to be the biggest issue for the Patriots because they have not covered tight ends well. So going up against Evan Ingram might be tough, but like, I wouldn't be shocked if you see Christian Gonzalez on Evan Engram quite a bit tomorrow. Like, that to me makes a lot of sense.
Good question on who you think Gonzo is going to lock up against, because they're...
I think it's
Brian
be
Thomas
a mix.
Jr. It could be a Brian Thomas Jr. or an Evan Engram thing, because the Patriots' safeties, you know, with the unfortunate situation with Jabril Peppers, Kyle Duggar's had that ankle injury. Marte Mapu's good, but I think Evan Engram would get the best of him on the regular. And Taki Taki is a linebacker they signed for pass coverage as well.
And is also
run
questionable
support.
At the moment.
And he's supposed to be the Mac Wilson replacement, but the problem is he just came off the pup, and he's still banged up.
Yeah, I look at this and see like an opportunity for Gonzo, because I think BTJ is a guy you can kind of bracket a little bit, where you have safety over the top and a corner right on him at the line of scrimmage. If you're playing man, if you're playing zone, it's not going to matter anyways. But they like to play a little bit of man, a lot of man. And so for me, Gonzalez is probably going to be bouncing around between Brian Thomas Jr. and Evan Engram, in my opinion. Like, I think that is his best matchup. I don't think you need to put him on Gabe Davis. I don't think he's worth. Gabe Davis doesn't call for your best corner. So for me, that's kind of, you rule him out. Christian Kirk is a slot guy. That means, that screams Marcus or Jonathan Jones is going to be on Christian Kirk, and then you can kind of play around there with the other two.
Thank you very much on the socials, at FitzyGFY and at WEEI, at Carlson Sports, reminding me it's his majesty now, Fitzy. The brunch balls are bigger. Yes, I forgot about the fact that... since it's King Charles and not
King Charles,
no longer the Queen, that it's his. It is His Majesty's Royal London. Yes, my apologies for that as well. By the way, if you want to catch up on any of the other news, notes, nuggets, rumblings, and bumblings from Pat's Nation right now, we published the usual Sunday morning column, the Sunday 7, a day early. So it's the Saturday 7.
Okay.
And it's currently running at WEEI.com and Shime.
I'm pretty sure it's midnight in London right now. I don't know.
It's
the time
6 p.m. 6:30.
It's 5:30.
Only 6 hours ahead. Or is it 5 hours ahead? 6 hours ahead.
Five.
Oh, there you go.
And a beautiful day over there as well. Oh, jeez. Now you get me thinking about the fact we should be waltzing around the West End. You know, just like there's so many charming corner pubs. Like, is there a neighborhood in Boston? Like, would you say Southie maybe, or Alston, Brighton? Like, what?
Nothing
what area?
Is like that. Nothing is like London.
There's nothing like London,
no,
right?
No, not here.
Only Milwaukee is the only city. The Milwaukee and Brooklyn are the only cities I've ever been in that resemble London, and there's kind of a cool pub around literally every corner.
Yeah, I can't say I've ever been to Milwaukee, but...
Milwaukee, Alice?
But when it comes to London, like, it's just... It is. Oh, it's the best. It's such a quaint feeling. It's so nice. You can walk around any corner and, like you said, find a pub. I found a pub when I was there called the Brown Bear. Walked in, the guy immediately noticed my Bruins hat. He's like, "Oh, you big Bruins fan?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm from Boston." And he's like, "Oh, my son is named Bruin after the Bruins. I'm a big Bruins fan."
Come
I was like, "This
on.
Is, yeah, the English guy, just at a nice pub, wicked nice guy." And so, like, it's just, it's cool. It is a crazy experience. It's such an international city, which is something we don't have here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. It is, they always say British food stinks, and they're right, but the food in London is actually really good. Like, that's the difference there. Is it's the food within the city of London is tremendous, but when you try and go find like British cuisine, that's when it's bad. Go find all of the international cuisine that exists within London, and it is all delightful.
Some of the Spanish food, the Thai food, the Indian food, yep. The French food that you'll get there, because
the best.
It's such an international city. It's out of this world. And look, a proper plate of eggs and bangers. With a side of potatoes or, you know, chips, if you will. How can you hate any city that's priorities are based on, you know, that are based on culture, sports, beer, and French fries? Sorry. I mean, to me, it just gets top vote right there, my friend. 617-779-7937. More on the Patriots coming up. We welcome you into the program. Good listeners of EEI. Joe's in the car. What's up, Joe?
What's up, guys? What's up? Shine, don't kid yourself, buddy. London stinks, buddy. My son was over there. He's been to France. He's been to Italy. He said that England was the worst. The food stinks, even in London. But anyway, that's not even the reason why I called. Can you guys imagine if the Pats lose to Jacksonville? Like, it doesn't get any lower than this. Like, they have to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. Even though someone told me that this the underdog by 6 points, Shine. Is that right?
That is correct, Joe. They are 6-point underdogs in this game.
Oh, my God. Why so high, Shine? I don't know if I should put What do you think? You're the betting man. Should I put some money on this? Should I get the 6 points? So, I mean, that's a lot of points. But, I mean, they're talking like they're going to basically blow out the Patriots. I mean, really? But the reason why I called, though, 50, like I said, what am I going to say on Monday if they do close, if they do beat, I mean, I'm sorry, if they do lose to Jacksonville? That's all I got. I want to know what's your opinion. Thank you.
Appreciate you, Joe. Thanks for the call, pal. Listen, it all depends on the game. It all depends on how the game goes. If the Patriots let the Jags, who have just been to call the Jags lackluster, would be like saying today is sort of nice outside. Like, yes, they have been terrible, and
they've
it is gorgeous.
Awful.
They are maybe one of the most underwhelming, one of the most disappointing storylines on the season. In a season of surprises, like the Minnesota Vikings, the Jaguars being 1-5 with all the offensive talent they have and the expectations with Trevor. I mean, there was a point last year, Shime, the Jags were 8-3.
Yeah, they were. And then they fell apart in the second half of the season. I didn't buy the Jaguars entering this year. A lot of people did. Like, a lot of people had them in the playoffs and, like, competing for the AFC South, which I didn't understand. Yeah, I don't think this team
Trevor
is good.
Lawrence factor. Before the stretch last year, he was good when he was healthy.
He had a bunch of injuries last year, Joe. That's a very good point.
Yeah, and like, that's a tough part, right? It's because overall, Trevor Lawrence, like, if you just look at his numbers this year, he's been pretty good. He hasn't turned the ball over a ton. He's been efficient down the field. But when you just look at the game as a whole, it's like he makes bad mistakes in bad spots. The defense can't stop a nosebleed. And they just can't score enough points. And
they're ghastly.
They have running backs fumbling out of the end zone against Miami. They have Tank Bigsby putting the ball on the ground. Like, it's just, it's brutal. I think this is the most winnable spot the Patriots have had or are going to have going forward. I don't disagree with that, but it's still not going to be easy. Like, there's a reason Jacksonville is favored by 6. They've been in London for a week. Their bodies have acclimated to the time change and all that crap. And they're the same record as you, but they've been closer to being better than you have, right? Like I said, if Travis Etienne doesn't fumble out of the back of the end zone, they start the season 1-0 instead of 0-1. That's the difference.
That was bad. Like, they have just made, that's just the name of a British food. That's okay.
I think it's like an egg, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got their Scotch eggs handed to them last week.
Yes, exactly.
Trevor Lawrence had what looked like a good fantasy day, 234 yards, 2 tutties, and a pick. But that was all in garbage time because they just got absolutely waxed. No, his numbers on the year, 1,334 yards, 8 tutties, 3 picks, decent QBR. It's like right smack in the middle of the league. They should be 3-3. They should not be 1-5. And the injuries to Trevor Lawrence last year are what kind of derailed what looked to be a pretty promising second season for him after they made the playoffs the year before and had that epic comeback against the boob that was Brandon Staley in the Los Angeles Chargers in the playoffs when they were down like 31-3 and somehow still won that damn game. So to answer Joe's question in the long, the reason why I'm going to reserve how we're going to feel about this till Monday is the following. If the Patriots get blasted by the Jags, like if they're flat, the Jags are quick, the Pats are making the Jacksonville Jaguars style mistakes, while the Jags play like how we think the Patriots should play or just a high-powered offense, and it looks like the Texans game, that'll be embarrassing. Like, this is a...
Yeah, that won't happen.
Tomorrow, surprisingly, is a, in my estimation, a huge referendum day. Not on Drake May as much. It's his follow-up game. I'm sure the knee is fine. He's 22, for God's sakes. Time change, please. It's like people that put away a 30 rack on a Friday and they're out, you know, playing 18 holes the next morning at 8 o'clock, or they're playing a football game.
Yep.
He'll be fine. I'm not worried. Or playing, you know, he's already had a disc golf match and now he's on his way to a lacrosse match. Like, he'll be just fine. It's the defense and the rest of the team, like the offensive line. You're starting your 5th left tackle now in Zach Thomas, now that Vidarian Lowe is out and Caden Wallace is on IR and Chuks Okorafor is somewhere getting a meat pie. It's just a that whole situation is a different mess that we'll address later. But There is an opportunity for AVP to open the playbook, for Mayo to tighten the ranks. He said he was going to shake things up because he was unhappy that people were underperforming, Scheim. Tomorrow, the Jags exist. They're like a target practice dummy tomorrow. They're like Nerf discs that
like
you should be
like going against the scout team.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and the Jacksonville Jaguars haven't played a normal game like all year. Right, they lose to Miami in week one in a last second field goal because they fumbled the ball through the end zone. They lose to the Browns by 5 points. They get waxed by the Bills. They lose to the Texans on a CJ Stroud final drive of the game, wins it with like 12 seconds left on the clock. They lose that one 24-20. They somehow beat the Colts after blowing a 10-point lead with less than 5 minutes left in the game to Joe bleeping Flacco, and then got waxed by the Bears. So they haven't played like a normal game all year. I don't expect them to all of a sudden play a normal game now and to beat down on the Patriots. I just don't see that happening. So Joe also asked about the 6 points. I don't hate it. I actually love the Patriots getting six. They're a huge play for me. The plus six in the over to me is just the way to go. It just feels right in kind of every way I look at this game. And so if Jacksonville wins, which I think is still likely, right? They are favored by this much for a reason. It's only going to be a field goal or so. Like, it's not going to be, they're not going to beat you by 14 points. It's just not going to happen. Their defense isn't good enough to hold a 14-point lead, even against this Patriots team who has struggled at times.
Let's grab one more quick call before the break. Ray is in Revere. What's up, Ray?
Hey, fellas, I actually have mixed emotions about this whole thing in that I don't think there's any entertainment value to the Patriots before they put in Drake May. And by the way, I love this kid. Great attitude, athletic. I think he's got the goods. He's kind of like Billy Bobby, by the way. You know, I mean, he's just that personality. But I got to tell you guys, I say to myself, to what end and what am I really rooting for? And that, what are we going from a 3-win team to a 6-win team with him in there? And then with all the downside of him maybe actually getting a debilitating injury, I just don't think they have enough around him. I look at that Zach Thomas. They would have been better off with the pylon at left tackle last week where those guys were running by him. I mean, it was dangerous. There was one guy got an inside move. I thought he was going to kill me.
So, Ray, I asked this question just because I'm curious if you have any references. What was the last quarterback you remember getting a debilitating injury in, like, his second career start? Or in his rookie season, for that matter?
Joe Burrow.
Chad Pennington. The kid blew out his shoulder and was never the same. I actually thought that guy was really going to be good.
Yeah.
You know, and so, but that, there's your answer. I gave you a name.
Yeah,
and that guy actually was on a trajectory.
So, yeah, sure. That's fine. But at the same time, Chad Pennington also came back. He had multiple winning seasons. He won comeback player of the year multiple times. Like, had a decent career. Could he have been better? Sure, but it wasn't a debilitating injury. Fitzy throws out Joe Burrow.
It was. I'm sorry. I have to disagree with you on that point. He could not throw the ball the way he could before that injury, and he was a shell of himself when he came back.
Again, he came back and had a successful career. Multiple winning seasons. Not one, not two, not three, but four winning seasons as a starting quarterback. Had a completion percentage over 66% in his career and was pretty good. One comeback player of the year, not once, but twice. And then Fitzy brings up Joe Burrow. Yes, he got hurt for the season and then came back the next year and went to the Super Bowl. This is the thing. There's one guy that's ever had a debilitating injury, especially in his rookie year, and that was RG3, and that's only because the coaching staff forced him to come back early from the injury, and he worsened it. That's really the only one you can point to. So as long as, if he does get hurt, okay, but it's football. Injuries happen. That's going to happen. You can't play scared like that. You have to allow him to get the experience, as much experience as you possibly can. You waited too long in the first place, and so he needs to get as much as he can. If he gets hurt, he gets hurt, and he's going to rest the rest of the season. He's not going to come back, and the people out there who want them to tank for the highest draft pick they can get, you get your wish. There you go. But he's going to come back. It's not like getting Joe Theismann level injuries don't happen as much as often anymore.
Or an Alex Smith or the
it's like. Just you can't, you, it's also a barbaric game that you cannot, like, put up somebody in bubble wrap.
Like, look
anymore.
At Aiden Hutchinson last week. The guy is just making a routine pass rush. His leg gets caught in the turf and he gets a compound fracture.
Yeah, but you want to know what? He's going to come back next year.
He's gonna be fine, and I hope the Lions can find some sort of discount pass rusher to make a trade for, or something they can do to bolster ranks. Because, and I'll get to this a little bit later on as well. I don't know, Scheim, if you allow yourself to have other teams that you root for when your team is currently in a rebuild, or you know, in a roster turnaround. But the Lions are the team that I am most rooting for to go to and win the Super Bowl. I also love the Packers. And you know what? If C.J. Stroud gets there and gets the job done and takes the Chiefs out along the way, I'll be happy with that as well. 617-779-7937 is the number. We're up against it right now, as they like to say in the biz. We'll pay the bills. When we come back, a little bit more of the London preview. And I also have a little draft nugget as far as what the New England Patriots need to do, or who should be their North Star when they look to trying to assess the college, if you will, the college portfolio and how their draft should go next year. It's Fitzy and Scheim on a beautiful Saturday here on EEI.
Past couple weeks, we've been starting slow, so I feel like we're not aggressive enough as we're supposed to be, and I feel like we just need to be more aggressive, like you said. I feel like times where we are aggressive, the ball is actually moving and we're getting places.
That's your new wide receiver one, folks, Kayshawn Boutte, man who received the first touchdown last Sunday of Drake May's professional career. First of many, many, many tutties to come as well. And Scheim, he's quickly turning into the example on the New England Patriots that maybe some other players. I'll give you two receivers right off the top, Jalen Polk and Javon Baker, who could probably learn a thing or two from Kayshawn Boutte. The kid last year was embroiled in an underage gambling scandal. Also, by the way, maybe we should have him on the station, because dude hit some legs on those parlays as well. He's actually pretty good. But like,
probably better than me.
He was seen as immature. He had a lot of injuries in college that derailed what could have been a career that would have paralleled the Jarvis Landrys and the Justin Jeffersons and the Jamar Chases of the world. Had some squabbles with the coaches. Draft stock fell to the floor. Gets taken late as a throw-in by the Patriots last year. A little promise, but otherwise, you know, doesn't get a foot in bounds early, so he makes Belichick's doghouse the rest of the year. Now he's seems like he's grown. He's fought his way back to the top, and he's making a difference, and everyone is talking about the fact that he looks legit, that he looks legit. He should be a primary target tomorrow for Drake May, but we play that audio in specific mostly because I think everyone agrees universally that if you come out tomorrow with the same sort of seventh-grade dance approach to the offense that AVP does, it's a little plodding, it's a little predictable. Sometimes there could be a little touchy touch, but otherwise, it's just a lot of the same. It's a lot of the same old crap. If you approach a team like Jacksonville, they can sling it themselves, and you just say, "Tell you what, let's give the people a show. Let's not."
That's a high school prom right there.
Yeah, exactly. Like let's not eat. How about we both agree not to play a don't try to lose game, but rather first team to 40 wins, and just go grip it and rip it tomorrow. Like, give the people what they want. Both teams are sort of competing right now, we'll say, in the tankathon for a top five or top six draft pick. They're all going to get a really good tackle or quarterback or whatever. But just like tomorrow, like to get any more messages from people, Scheim, don't you find it just almost gross to keep getting like, they got a tank, they can't win any more games? I mean, that just begets a losing culture, and everyone on the team would agree.
Yeah, you have to come out aggressive here. I don't want to be passive, but I'm not confident that they're going to. I know we want them to. We all say they should, and people are saying they should, and that's saying the right things, but are you convinced that they're going to? Like, are you really, really certain that they will?
The Patriots are going to win tomorrow?
No. Come out aggressive.
No, I'm not. Yeah. That's why I'm, even though I know he's not listening. I mean, if he is, thanks very much. And he probably downloaded the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Download it today to catch all of your favorite WEEI shows and so much more. I'm just a fan standing here begging the team's offensive coordinator to be aggressive tomorrow.
Yeah, and we're going to keep, I think we're going to keep begging for it, because I think in AVP's mind especially, he sees the games that they've played, and for the most part, outside of that Texans game and maybe the Jets game, they've been close in every other game. And so for them, it's like, yeah, we don't need to be more aggressive than we have been. Like, you know, we'll pick our spots to be aggressive here, like with Drake May at the end of the first half taking a shot down the field. Like, we'll pick our spots, but out of the gate, yeah, we'll come out and run the football, and we'll come out and not throw it right away with our rookie quarterback, get him into a rhythm or anything like that. And so that's what I worry about. And I don't think that the aggression level in AVP's mind is going to change. His thermometer is staying very level at this point. I don't think it's changing, and I don't expect it to. Players and coaches and people can say, yeah, we need to start more aggressive, but I'll believe that when I see it. And so I think even if they don't come out super aggressive, they could still, you know, find a way to win this football game. It's not going to be easy, but they can find a way, and it's just I don't expect it.
Come on, Pats. Be aggressive. Be aggressive. Let's go to the phones. Billy's in the car. He wants to talk some NFL and Patriots. Hello, Billy.
Hey, what's up, boys? Shime, I owe you an apology. Last week, you said that they probably haven't thrown it downfield more than five times. It was a push. It was right at five.
Nailed
you know.
It.
So, yeah, you nailed it, Shime. Next gen stats. I love it. But yeah, the league is just—it's nasty. There's no good coaching anymore. I mean, you look back on that third down where we accepted a penalty. Right down, going down to the end zone. That's terrible on Mayo's part. We have no kind of like walking guys through traffic stops kinds of things. That's all across the league. You know, coaching, it's down. Quality, it's down. We're not seeing the same stuff that I grew up on. I mean, I'm 29 years old, so I didn't see high quality. Definitely didn't see you guys' quality. I don't know how old you are, Shine Fitzy. I'm assuming you're like 40. So it's just terrible seeing it right now. I don't like it.
Yeah, so Billy, I appreciate the call.
Thank you for the call, Billy.
I think it's a fair point. I think a lot of the NFL right now is kind of in a weird spot. I think they're in a transition phase, right? A few years ago, we saw very explosive offense, and it was a lot of fun. You know, we had games like that Chiefs-Rams game where it's like 54-51, an influx of new young coaches, new young minds, offensive minds in particular, made their way into the league. Yeah, and Andy Reid reasserted himself as one of the better offensive minds in football. And so we lost a lot of that older style coach, an older kind of military-esque style in a way. And
militant,
so,
yes.
The Belichicks.
The Belichicks. Mike Nolan probably would not succeed in this current NFL climate.
Yeah, like Bill Cowher. Guys like that wouldn't.
Yes. Tom Coughlin would not.
Bingo, exactly. And so you're seeing that shift, but you're also seeing a transition period, right? The offense exploded, but now defenses are catching up. And offenses are once again trying to figure out these new defenses and how to theoretically approach the game. And so it's more of like a chess match. I don't think that it's like a bad product. I don't think it's mediocrity. I think there's just a lot of parity right now. And you see that across the league. Anybody can win. It is literally any given Sunday in football right now, which I think is a good thing. It's a good thing for the sport. It means that your team's never out of it. But it also means that you're not going to have a team like the New England Patriots go 17-0. Ever again. It's just not going to happen because of the way games are officiated, the games are played, and the kind of different chess matches that go on and the injuries and all of it. I just don't think you see it. And I think another reason for some of that parity is the increase in injuries. I think you're seeing that this year. You saw it last year. We had, 64 different quarterbacks start a football game or something ridiculous like that last year.
Yeah, it was like one of the, and we're on
the most
pace
ever.
On pace to have a bunch this year as well, but last year was absolutely bananas.
And so I think all of those things kind of contribute to a league that is desires parity, and they're getting it. The league is getting what they want because it makes for a more exciting product on a week-to-week basis. Now, the best teams will still always be the best teams. You look at the Chiefs and the Texans and the Lions and stuff, and so those teams will always be great, but you are seeing way more parity than you probably did, you know, 20, 25 years ago.
I think I absolutely love this take that it's a transition year, and in the chess match, people are trying to catch up and adjust to the way defense is played versus the way offense is
Definitely.
Played and the new quarterbacks and the new coaches. I think there is a little bit of a coaching issue in the NFL now, but we
Sure.
can kind of unpack that one.
Well, that's what happens when every coach in the league, for the most part, out of like five, except for like five, are, you know, under 40 years old.
617-779-7937 is your telephone number. Let us pay a couple of bills, and when we come back, we'll do a little more Patriots, transition into the Celtics. Justin Turpin from WEEI.com joins us at 125 to help us get a hold of the idea that the Celtics are going to hang a banner this week and then begin pursuit of Banner 19 there to four. It's Fitzy and Shime coming to you on a beautiful Saturday here on EEI.